In the world of computers and technology, everything is constantly changing, including cybercrime. So to keep us up to date today with the latest online threats, once again, we have Tim Falinski from Trend Micro Australia on the line. G'day, Tim.
Hi, Eddie. How are you?
Excellent as usual. Now, you know, every time I get you on the phone, we hear about some new trick the cyber criminals have come up with to steal information, or more directly, steal money from everyday people such as you and me, or even large corporations. But now we're seeing some of these older tricks sort of pulled back out of the bag and given a new punch, and ransomware seems to be one of these major threats on the radar. So what is the trend at the moment, Tim?
You know, ransomware over the last couple of years has become one of the biggest problems for end users, and it's getting a little bit bigger. Because what we're seeing, as you mentioned, is we're seeing a variation of it now come to the fore that hasn't been there before. Where previously what ransomware used to do was lock the screen of your computer and demand that you pay money for you to unlock your computer. But now what it's doing is, in addition to locking your computer, it's actually going through and encrypting your files underneath that lock. And what that means is that even if you can get around the front screen, you've still got to face the fact that all the files on your computer have now been locked.
Then typically, what sort of ransom have the cyber criminals been asking for, you know, not only unlocking your computer, but, you know, unlocking those files and folders?
Well, what we've also seen them develop over the past couple of years, instead of asking for a blanket $10,000 or $50,000, they try and target it based on the kind of company you are or the person you are, and actually do a little bit of research about you.
Wow.
So therefore, the amounts can vary. The most important thing that we've also seen, probably to highlight at this stage, is paying of the ransom does not lead to unlocking for your files. It's just a ruse. So we do really highly recommend that even if you do get hit up for a ransom, you're probably not going to see that information or those files again.
So I was going to ask you, I mean, some people might just go, okay, look, I'll just pay and it'll get unlocked and I've learnt my lesson and I'll be okay for next time. But what you're saying is don't pay the ransom, because it's not going to do you any good. It's a dead end.
The only thing that you can do is take your computer to a tech expert and pay them. If it's just the simple version, they might be able to get that around that for you, unlock your computer and give you access to the files. If it's the harder version that's encrypted your files, then they will need to probably wipe your computer and restart again, which means that make sure you've got a backup.
Oh, wow. Well, we know we're going to talk about backups more shortly, but what you're saying here now is, I guess, prevention, avoiding ransomware is, I guess, still the best protection.
Yeah, look, you've really just got to be careful in this particular case. It's one of those things where the encryption that we're seeing them use is military grade. So once it's in there, it's fairly rare that a computer expert will be able to back it out for you. And these guys, once they've got your money, there's no reason that they need to give you the key to unlock it. And generally, in half the time, they probably don't have the key themselves or have taken a record of it. So the only way to really get around this is prevention, and just really, really be careful about what you're doing. And, you know, the first real line of defense is just don't click on those random emails you get. It's been delivered through malicious websites. They can't just get access to your computer. You've got to, in some way, go somewhere that's going to give them access. So really just be careful about that. And we really do recommend a security solution for this, because it's the security products out there that can warn you about those malicious websites and why you should go there.
Right. Yeah, that sounds like a real nightmare. But another tool, an old tool that the cyber criminals are also getting a fresh run with of late, is exploit kits. Now, I was reading on the Trend Micro blog that exploit kits date back almost 10 years. So how do they work, and what's changed with how they're now being deployed?
So, Andy, exploit kits, they're programs that take advantage of vulnerabilities inside our software program, whether that be a vulnerability inside our Internet Explorer or our Google Chrome or some sort of browsing device that we're using, or even inside the PC ourselves. But what they do then is, then through that exploit, they use that to deliver the malware. So sometimes what people don't realize is that they're going to a website that is going to deliver them or utilize an exploit kit, which therefore opens them up later to actually having malware put into their computer. So these malicious websites that people go to, they're set up to actually scan your computer whilst you're browsing that website. It looks at the kind of systems you're using, finds all the different exploits, and then starts delivering the attacks that are based on your vulnerabilities.
So basically, these exploits, it's a fault or a flaw within a program. The cyber criminals are finding the hole before the people who created the program. They get in and feed something nasty into it, and that's how it comes through. Is that right?
Yeah, basically, you know, programs are thousands, hundreds of thousands of lines of code. And what happens when you code all of this? These guys go through and over time figure out that there are subroutines, and if you put in a string of commands in a certain way, it unfortunately loops around the protection that the program may have and gives you access to something that you shouldn't have, and then you use that access to give you access here. So, you know, with the complexity that are programs and they're logical and they're all what-if basis, eventually they can actually find vulnerabilities. This is not something that happens all the time, and it happens with a lot of different software. And especially if we want to use software that other people can view, that we can see, and we want to visit websites, you're going to have software that allows people to access it. So in the end of the day, we are going to have exploits come up. But what they do is they find these subroutines and then share them out, and that gives them the access to deliver the truly bad package to you. So in a way, the exploit kit only gives them access to your computer.
Right.
The real malicious part is what they do to it next.
Right, so it seems now that instead of cyber criminals using just one tool to conduct their nasty business, they're now layering a few tools to pack more of a punch. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Oh, look, that's definitely a fair assessment, and that's what we're seeing more and more. So you've got exploit kits, you've got malware, but you know, how do they get you to go to that bad website? They're now, and what we've seen in the end of 2014, is a massive rise in social engineering, Lewis. So they need you to get you to a bad website. So now what they're doing is, you know, with the Cricket World Cup that's on them at the moment, with the Soccer World Cup last year, even things such as disasters like when the Malaysian Airlines planes got hit, they use those fast-breaking news stories. So people want to find out what's going on. They click on a link, and then that takes them to a bad website, and then that takes them through and allows them to deliver you the malware. And, you know, this kind of stuff's going to happen again this year. It's not just one-off stuff. When William and Kate have their new baby later this year, everyone's going to want to read a bit of the story about it, and especially through things such as your social networks, Facebook, Twitter, etc. You're going to get these short links and click on them to find out what's going on, and this is how the guys are using it. So they're using social engineering lures to deliver you to a website that's going to figure out the exploit that they can hit you with, that then goes and delivers the malware through to your computer, and then they start hitting you up for different things. So it is a very multi-layered approach that we see.
And the more I hear about these sorts of things and these reports that that come out, the scarier it kind of seems. But, I mean, for the average user, it doesn't have to be that way, right? I mean, it all comes down to good protection and common sense still, doesn't it?
Yeah, like a lot of people will run some sort of security software. You know, antivirus is still the hub of it, and that's something important. But we do recommend to people a good level or a good internet security product these days, because a lot of people will load a free version of antivirus or a paid version of antivirus on the computer and think they're protected. But that is just one small part of the arsenal that these guys have these days. And in a world where we're actually connected more and more online, having internet security and the ability to block you in real time, in real life, it's becoming more important to us all.
Moving on to a related topic, we have World Backup Day coming up, and I guess that fits right in with the internet security theme, because I guess in the event that something does go wrong with your computer, whether it be, you know, stolen or you know, the cyber criminals lock it up like we were talking about before, having that backup can be a real lifesaver, right?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I've been around the industry for a few years, and you know, back in the day, there would not be a week where you wouldn't back up your data because your hardware might crash or something might go wrong. And I think we've all been lulled into this false sense of security a little bit, that everything's so good and, you know, hardware's getting better, reliability's better. But we've also now moved into a world where all of our photos have become digitized, our bank statements and everything else that goes on. And what people don't understand is that if you do get a virus and we have to reset your computer, so you've got to wipe all the data, or it gets stolen or everything else, that if you don't have that backup, not only getting that information, but you've just got to think about the time it will take you to go and get that information. I recently just set up a new computer at work because they rolled me over to a new one. Even that took 1 to 2 days to do properly and get everything else put back in place, and that's with access to my old computer with all the information there. I just wonder how long it would take if I lost all my data and I had to build from scratch.
Yeah, I hate to think how long it would take me, all of those, you know, decades of information there. I mean, so hopefully most people do make regular backups of their notebook or desktop computers, which is what we mostly talk about. But do you think mobile devices kind of get left out when people are thinking about backing up important information and important things like photos?
Oh, look, definitely. I know talking to a few people there, and I was chatting to them, and you always say to them, what would you do if your phone got stolen? And they go, you don't know how many of my kids' photos are sitting on my phone. And in a recent survey we did, over one in two people, so more than 50% of people don't back up any of the data they have on their mobile devices. And it's something that we're really highlighting to people you've got to be careful about, from your contacts to your text messages, to the photos and videos you've taken of family, of friends and all the rest of it. We've got to realise these days that with on average a phone being lost or stolen every 6 minutes inside Australia, you know, you've got to be vigilant about, you know, how I'm going to keep my data safe.
Do you think people put that in the too hard basket? I mean, are the options really that complex when it comes to, you know, backing up data off your mobile?
Look, I think people do put it into the too hard basket, but if it's simple, the answer to that is yes. If you look at the Apple iOS software, they come with iCloud pre-built in, and it probably takes you 5 minutes to properly set up your account and have it automatically back up to the cloud for you. And likewise, what we'd be recommending is once a week making sure you do a hard backup to a computer or a third bit of software that you can do quite easily by just plugging your phone into your PC. Likewise, with Android, it's the same thing. Even though they don't particularly have iCloud, our company sells a particular application that allows you to back up, and many other people do. And likewise, you would just back up your phone once a week into some other third source of data. It's the kind of thing that once it's set up, which maybe takes 5 or 10 minutes, it will happen automatically. To be honest with you, setting up your mobile phone backup and actually recording that stuff is probably easier than your PC, because that requires a little bit more intervention, where a lot of these other systems are quite automated with our mobiles.
Okay, so, I mean, generally we get the idea that Australians are maybe not great at backing up their mobile devices, but what about mobile internet security? We've been talking a lot about that over the last few years. Is the importance of having that installed getting through?
Look, it's where we're talking to people now. We see this as the new big area, and every quarter when I look at our internal reports and what we're seeing, the threats that are coming out into the marketplace, there is more and more malware aimed at mobile devices, because what people and the cyber criminals are seeing is that people aren't putting the time, energy and effort. You know, they put the time, energy and effort to make sure they've got internet security on their home computers where they do their banking, but they'll do the banking on their phone and they won't have that secured. So, you know, we're seeing more than 57% of people don't have any form of security whatsoever, and almost 15 to 20% of people these days have experienced some sort of malware or viruses onto their phones. So it is something I think throughout 2015-16 we're going to see become bigger and more prevalent out there, and we really do warn people that it's something for them to think about.
Absolutely. Okay, so World Backup Day is March 31. What's the one key point that you'd like to sort of hammer home for everybody? What should everyone action?
You know, Andy, when you always ask me for these one points, I always have more than one. But there's really three key rules of what we say. You know, at least have three copies of whatever you're trying to back up. And, you know, whether that be, for example, on a mobile device, you've got it on your phone, you've got it in the cloud, and then you put it back to your computer. And if you've got it on your computer, you probably have a second copy and then on an external hard drive, something to have there. You try and have it in two different formats, and that's really not having it on the same device. So don't have, just because you back up your data on your phone, on your computer, sorry, don't have it on the same hard drive. You need it on a separate hard drive. And then also think about having it separated. So therefore, if you do have something, so therefore it's stolen, you have an unfortunate accident where, you know, you've had a fire in the house, that you still have a copy somewhere else that's not close to the other copy. So this is where cloud storage is particularly good, because that is separated. But if you do have an external hard drive, make sure you don't keep that in the same bag that you have your notebook. So if it gets stolen, it's just been taken off you anyway.
Absolutely. Great tips again, Tim. And thanks for filling us in on internet security as well. It's Tim Falinski from Trend Micro Australia. Thanks again for joining us on Tech Daily.
Thanks a lot, Andy.